A drug trafficker who was in trouble with the law, and it's about him being hunted down by the police and how he's caught. Like I said, they're almost like scandal sheet songs. Anonymously in the community about the people in the community that are helping some of the local Mexican people who have had some problems with immigration.
Cantar un corrido que acabo de componer de unos muy buenos amigos que ahora van a conocer. Es el Cowboy y Camelia y el mecánico también. Son compañeros del Cobra para cuidar a la ley. Nosotros los mexicanos contentos estamos también, que si no fuera por ellos nos pudieran aprender. Pearson Centro de Florida es muy mentado también, donde hay muchos mexicanos que andamos mal con la ley. La emigración ya no sabe a otro pueblo más que a él. El Cabo y la Camelia, personas muy conocidas, por radio nos comunican donde se encuentra la migra. Escóndanse bien, muchachos, no salgan porque los mira. El pescador y el vampiro, la Camelia y el Cabón, el mecánico y la Cobra, los seis chicanos de honor que hacen por el mexicano y cuidan la emigración. Ya con esta me despido, dispensen lo mal cantado. Estos versos son compuestos por dos humildes mojados.
They had two of the most traditional forms of the corrido, which is the introductory and the closing formula, where the singers introduce themselves and say hello, and that they're telling you that they are going to tell a story, and at the end they excuse themselves for how poorly it was sung and say goodbye. It's a opening and closing formula that you see that's been passed through the tradition. It's a song called A Year Ago.
Thank you. hace un año que yo tuve una ilusión. Hace un año que hoy se cumple en este día. Recordando que en tus brazos me dormía. Y yo inocente, muy confiado, te entregué mi corazón. Ese tiempo tan feliz no volverá. Me quisiera emborrachar de sentimiento. Te quisiera yo borrar del pensamiento, pero es inútil, yo borracho más y más me de acordar. El recuerdo de tu amor quiero olvidar. Mi cariño lo pagaste con traiciones. Hoy me quedan solo crueles decepciones. Verás más tarde, no habrá nadie que se acuerde de tu amor. El recuerdo de tu amor quiero olvidar. Me quisiera emborrachar de sentimiento. Te quisiera yo borrar del pensamiento, pero es inútil, yo borracho más y más me de acordar.
De la Sierra Morena, cielito lindo, vienen bajando un par de ojitos negros, cielito lindo de contrabando. Ay, 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 canta y no llores, porque cantando se alegran, cielito lindo, los corazones. Ese lunar que tienes, cielito lindo, junto a la boca, no se lo des a nadie, cielito lindo, que a mí me toca. Ay, 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 canta y no llores, porque cantando se alegran, cielito lindo, los corazones. De la sierra mojada, cielito lindo, vienen bajando un par de ojitos negros, cielito lindo, de contrabando. Ese lunar que tienes, cielito lindo, junto a la boca, no se lo des a nadie, cielito lindo, que a mí me toca. Ay, 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 canta y no llore, porque cantando se alegran, cielito lindo, dos corazones.
And he's a bad outlaw.
Hablo de tiempos pasados. También hubo criminales. Era sostener rendón con sus negros historiales. Tenía en su haber varias muertes. También robaba animales. Era don Simón Ramírez que con su misión cumplía. En busca de aquel bandido, su vida peligraría. El jefe de la cordada, vivo o muerto, lo quería. Fue un jueves por la mañana, daba el sol fuerte sus rayos. Don Simón se preparaba en un hermoso caballo, ya divisaba rendón, sabía que no era mal gallo. Al nombrar de rendimiento, rendón dijo no se puede. Al de saber que los hombres cuando se rinden no mueren, era mejor desistieras, porque conmigo no puede. A las armas sin remedio, la suerte así decidía. Con un balazo en la frente, el caballo muerto caía. Don Simón mató al instante al hombre que perseguía. Hablo de tiempos pasados, también hubo criminales. Era don Simón Rendón con sus negros historiales. Tenía en su haber varias muertes, también robaba animales. Fue un jueves por la mañana, daba el sol fuerte sus rayos. Don Simón se preparaba en un hermoso caballo, ya divisaba rendón, sabía que no era mal gallo. Al nombrarle rendimiento, Rendón dijo no se puede. Al de saber que los hombres cuando se rinden no mueren, era mejor desistieras, porque conmigo no puede. A las armas sin remedio, la suerte así decidía. Con un balazo en la frente, caballo muerto caía. Don Simón mató al instante al hombre que perseguía. Adiós, don Simón Rodríguez, tu
fama aquí la dejaste. Porque a sostener rendón, frente a frente lo mataste. También por ti dio su vida el caballo que montaste.
Another round of applause for the Galarza brothers from Pearson.
I'm on the old cat liners or trot liners, they call it. I brought a line out I'd like to show you. I really don't know what to tell you about. It's a pretty hard ordeal putting on a box. It takes 2.5 to 3 hours to wrap it, get made and ready to go out. We got it devised on these boxes. We're going to go along and bait all the hooks up before we put the line out. And once we get it on the box and get it ready to go out, it's tie the end of it off to an anchor. Move the boat away from it, it automatically lets the line come off the boxes. It'll let right off. This is one continuous line, about 2,500, 3,000 foot line, somewhere in that area. 2,500. We catch catfish on it. Once you get it in the water, we run up and down it with a boat, rebaiting the hooks, taking the fish off if we catch some fish. That's where it gets the name trot line, because it's trotting up and down and trying to catch fish.
Workshop on commercial fishing on the St. John's River. I'm Mary Ann McDonald, and I'll sort of be the talk show host. And I'll introduce everybody here, and then we just want to talk real casually about how everybody learned and what kind of things they think are important and maybe some of the changes that have taken place on the St. John's. You know, when most people think of a fisherman, they sort of imagine a hot, lazy summer day and one man out there with a line and pole. And maybe a lot of people forget that there's a very large commercial fishing industry made up of people who mostly have grown up on the river in Florida on the St. John's River who make a living catching catfish and eels and crabs and selling them. All those fish go on your tables and on restaurant tables, not only in Florida, but throughout the Southeast and even in the Northeast. The Schmidt family catches shad, and those are mostly go up to the Northeast. So we'd like to talk for a little bit, and then we'll have some questions. If any of you would like to ask some questions, we'll just open it up. I'll start over here and introduce some people. This is Tommy Knowles, and he and his wife Cindy, who live right down in Crescent City on the St. John's, you've been fishing for how many years?
About 35 years.
35 years, that's a long time. And he makes fish traps, catches catfish in the winter, and then crab traps and catches crabs in the summer, and also an eel trap that we'll talk a little bit more about later. To my right here is Mr. Lawrence Bennett, who also grew up on the St. John's River and has been a commercial fisherman, and he will talk mostly about the cat lining box, which is right here, which is a pretty strange-looking contraption. And then we have the Schmidt family. We have Eddie Oxendine on the end. We have Francis, Jerome, and Bernice Schmidt. And Jerome Schmidt came down on the St. John's River in about 1918, brought down by his father. And he's just sort of a patriarch of the St. John's River area and has raised, a son and a daughter who are commercial fishing today. This Francis Schmidt is commercial fishing today. And this is Bernice Schmidt, his wife. Eddie Oxendine, on the end, as I was saying, is a catfish skinner and also a commercial fisherman. And he was raised on the river. I guess your grandfather fished, and you learned from your grandfather and from your father. And he'll be talking a little bit about how he grew up and learned how to fish and what he thinks maybe the future of commercial fishing will be. So I guess I wanted to start. Things have really changed a lot on the St. John's. And I wanted to start with the oldest person up here, which is Jerome Schmidt, and ask him a little bit about the first kinds of fishing that he used to do on the river, which I guess was with some cotton line instead of nylon line.
Fished cotton and linen, and drifted the shad nets, and fished seines on, and drag seines.
When did you make those cotton nets, or would you buy them ready-made?
Well, we used to knit the hook nets.
It's not picking up. I don't.
We knit the hook nets by hand.
Oh wow!
And some seines.
Now, what kept the cotton from just rotting after being out in the water?
We tarred it, and the nylon, or the linen, we dyed it with oak bark.
So would that be the tannic acid would keep it from rotting?
The tannic acid that comes out of the swamp is what rots the cotton.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm.
It rots the cotton, but then the tar kills that.
Uh-huh.
But it lasts about 2 or 3 months, about as long as a.
Now, when people were fishing hoop nets in the old days, they would make those hoop nets out of cotton. Now, how often would you have to raise those and dip them?
You take them up and dry them about every 6 weeks and retar them.
Uh huh.
And you made the hoops out of white oak or hickory.
Just like
hickory
a
poles.
Basket maker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's about the way it was when I come here.
How long were those big hauls or the drift nets that you used that were out of cotton? How long were they?
Well, we'd see anywhere from 600 yards to 1,200.
Okay.
We'd drift them right down the middle of the river.
Down the channel in the center of the river. What kind of fish would you be catching then?
We catch white shad in them drift nets.
And what was the white shad season?
From the 15th of November till the 15th of March.
Okay. Maybe you could. I wanted to say that if you're interested in fishing shad, one thing you got to do is go out on that net every single day. The Schmidts have quite a reputation around for being very hard workers. Because I would ask someone, "Do you know Jerome and Francis and Bernice Schmidt?" And they'd say, "Well, we don't know them personally, but we see them out on the river every morning during the shad season working their nets." Because maybe, Jerome, you could tell us, or Francis maybe, what would happen if you didn't go out every morning to check those gill nets, those shad nets.
The fish would spoil.
Yeah.
They would go bad. They have to be checked every day. And if the weather warms in the winter, you have to check it twice a day. And we fish 900 yards. It takes 3 to 4 hours to run it if the weather's good.
Wow. Now, that's with a motorboat, of course. I wonder what it was like when Jerome was first out there with a rowboat.
We had a pair of oars.
Pair of oars. That's a little bit harder to do, huh?
Yeah, a little. We had two pair of oars, though. We had two men on oars.
So you'd be sort of fishing with a partner.
Yeah.
Okay.
More than.
Yeah.
You always shad with a partner.
Always shad fish with a partner.
Me and her shad fish with oars.
For years.
Yeah. When you drifted, you had to pick up the net when the tide changed, no matter what time, day or night it was. It only drifted 6 hours.
Uh-huh.
And if it was midnight, you went and got it. And if it was storming, you went and got it. And if it was freezing, you went and got it. It didn't make any difference. It had to be took out of the river.
Sounds like a tough life to me.
Oh, it was fun.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
If you didn't like it, you wouldn't be out there. I'll tell you that.
I'd like to ask Mr. Bennett. I just found out that Mr. Bennett, you're a third generation commercial fisherman, right?
Yep.
Let me move this up.
I grew up on the east shore of the St. John's River, and I started into fishing when I was about 9 years old. They would come get us out of school and take us down to the docks to skin fish. That was back during the days of the purse seines. And I grew up on the on the east shore of Lake George over there in a little town called Seville. And as I grew older and grew dumber and quit school, I went to commercial fishing. I used to fish back on the old purse seines back when we fished 2,100 yards a net. And it'd be a 5-6-man crew of us fished. And we'd lay them out usually about first dark, and it was about 2:30 the next afternoon when we got them up again. Weather was good.
Why would you put them out at night? Was there a reason?
Yeah, because it's a lot cooler, and you get your fish in the daytime, you get your fish skinned and taken care of better that way.
And then what would you do with all the fish that you got?
They were shipped. Everything was shipped back then. They were iced in barrels, and the catfish were dressed and put in barrels and iced and shipped north.
So you would take them to the local fish house?
To the local fish house. All the local fish houses owned the boats and the nets, and we worked on a share.
Okay.
And I put out 2,100 yards of net and been there with it all night and pick it up 3 o'clock next afternoon. There wasn't enough fish for the whole crew to eat, too.
Sometimes you catch them, and sometimes you don't.
I've been out there too, and we'd load the boats. That's fishing. That's the way it goes. They closed that along in the 40s, and about the mid 40s, they closed it to purse seining. Mm-hmm. And we'd fish hook nets, cat lines, traps, eel pots, and crab pots. Now, that's the extent of the fishing there, and gill netting.
And we have about all that represented amongst. All these folks here.
Back in the Depression time, you'd fish and you'd get something to eat until you just before you starved to death, you'd catch some more.
Just enough to keep us going.
Just enough to keep you going.
Our launches back in them days, I fished back when our launches were built out of cypress, and most of them run into 20 foot length, from somewhere along 18 foot to 28 foot long. And, we had two launches there. Each crew had two launches, and the two we had Model T motors in them. They didn't have a transmission. The shaft comes straight up and went straight into the engine. We cranked them with an old Stilson wrench. You grab that old Stilson wrench and hook it on over there and hold your hand flat, because that old Model T would kick you. And you hope it started when you kicked it over, because it would kick back at you if it didn't. You had to be careful with it.
When did motor boat?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, but see, we took the transmissions completely out of them, and the shaft runs straight into the engine. That was the way it ran. We didn't have a transmission in them at all, because it would gear the motor down too much. And, well, we cranked them with an old Stilson wrench.
No, I ain't going to tell them. Not a nice story.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I worked good for brakes, too, didn't
it? Sounds pretty dangerous.
Let me tell you something that he used to do. He had a boat, and he had a motor in it out of the car. He had an old car. This was in his young days when he's courting. And he would take the motor out of the car, put it in the boat, go fishing, come home and put it back in the car and go courting.
Nothing going to stop Jerome Schmidt, just nothing.
No.
I had it. That was my Saturday and Sunday motor.
That where you're the fast change artist, huh?
In the week I'd work, use it for work.
You know, a lot of folks, a lot of young boys especially, have paper routes when they're in high school in order to earn some money. But around on the St. John's, I think more than paper routes, what a lot of boys did, maybe some girls, I don't know, would run a cat line in order to make some money after school. And I guess Tommy Knowles did that when he was in high school, didn't he, after school. I wonder if you could tell everybody a little bit about those days of making a little bit of extra money with a cat line box. Is that the right term, a cat line box?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, what I'd do is when I come home from school in the afternoons, my partner would have already been out and caught our bait for that day, and the bait consisted of a small river shrimp. We call him a grass shrimp. He's only about an inch long, and you catch him by scooping through the grass along the edge of the river. Well, he would have already been out and caught the shrimp. And when I'd come in from school, we'd sat down and we'd bait our cat lines, put those shrimp on every one of those hooks around the box, and we'd bait three or four boxes like that, and then load them in a boat, and we'd go put them out at first dark. Well, after we'd put them out, why, we'd be too far away from the house to go back home, so we'd just camp out in the swamp that night and get up early the next morning, go pick up the cat lines at daylight, and get back to the house in time enough to get a bath and go on to school that day. That's what my spending money consisted of through my high school days. Yeah.
When would you clean the fish? You'd take them all
in? My partner would clean them. My partner was out of school, and he would clean them while I went to school. He got the good work.
He sounds like a good method.
Yeah. Yeah, he would.
How many hooks would you be running then? It was three boxes, you said?
Yeah, we would run 3 to 4 boxes a night. The boxes consisted of 500 hooks, and we'd bait up and put out that many almost every night. Well, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night excluded. Never did nothing on those nights.
I wonder why.
I don't know. We never seemed to have a problem. We'd build a big old campfire out of palm fronds and moss and wet wood. It smoked. It done a good job smoking them off of us. We never had a problem.
By the way, if commercial fishing was camping, you could smell him, too. You could smell the wood smoke on him.
Well, Tommy, your father was a commercial fisherman, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what kind of methods did he use mostly when you were growing up?
When I was a real youngster, my daddy worked on a seine, similar to the same kind that Lawrence Bennett over here described a while ago. And then after the seines was taken away, we got over into the wire trap fishing. My daddy would build and fish his own wire traps, and that was our main fishery after the seines was the wire traps. We never fished hook nets or anything. Wire traps was our main fish.
Well, someone who did grow up with hoop nets is Eddie Oxendine over here, to my right. Now, your father fished hoop nets, didn't he?
Yes, he fished hook nets.
Okay. The large ones, or did he make his own, or did he usually buy them?
Well, no, he was right along with Tommy Noel's father. He was using fish traps until the hook nets come out. And then he started using a few hook nets. But he was almost a cat line fisherman.
Oh, he mostly did cat line. What are some of the advantages of a cat line?
Well, a cat line, you got a lot of work. I mean,
maybe a disadvantage.
There's no disadvantage in it because the cat lines, there was a lot of work in it. After I get off from school every day, I had to write cat lines, bait them, and then go help Daddy put them out.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about a cat line, you got to be out there and fish it.
You got to be there with it.
And a hook net, you put